We studied in Exodus 7 last time we met about the rod being symbolic of that which you lean on for foundation, for strength. And how that the confrontation where Moses and Aaron confronted Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron were the two witnesses, the prophecy and wisdom. And they have to confront the Pharaoh in you. And the purpose of the idea of the rod becoming the snake and the magicians producing the snake is always a symbolism of wisdom. And so whatever, that's why always produce your strong cause. Whatever it is, talk, produce it, produce it, produce it. And the one that's acting in the role of the teacher has to consume it, or he will not last for long as a teacher. You understand? And so that process then has led us to a point. Well, first of all, in Moses, we saw that Pharaoh goes down every morning and gives his morning oblation, and Rick didn't go to work the next morning because he felt like
I didn't want to do my morning oblation.
Rick, standing oblation.
Standing oblation.
And so now we're in verse 19. Now the plagues begin. Do you notice the plagues can't begin in you in the spirit until you have produced your strong cause? Unless you have gone through and said, this is what I believe, and have it swallowed up in the vat to seeing that it's vanity. If you still are operating on saying, this is what I believe, then Passover will be a meaningless experience for you, because you will not experience experientially the plagues. You understand me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And Passover will just be a little party or something. You might enjoy it, but it won't touch the core of your being.
Unless you say what?
Unless the confrontation with Pharaoh and the snakes takes place beforehand. So I guess I would say to you, produce your strong cause. What are your value systems? You know, I mean, that's what we've really been doing in the hot seats and everything else, but is there any remnant yet that you think you're right on? Well, if that's the case, then we can start the plagues. Now, each of the groups are studying the same thing. What? I hear you're clicking over there.
I just thought that's a lot of frogs.
We're not even at frogs yet.
Well, yeah.
There's a stuff that was left.
Blacks.
It was actually what I thought was that's a lot of plagues. 50 years.
It's like, well, now that you're thanked for your rod there, it's been swallowed up.
Now we can start the plagues.
like
it's a great thing. And now we can start the plagues. Okay.
Start the plagues. Let's start the plagues.
Chapter 7, verse 19. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in this river and in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of the servants, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the rivers turned into blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he there hear, hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged around about the river for waters to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river.
So in other words, the wells they dug weren't bloody.
Right.
Is that what it means?
Right. Now, in Egypt, there were two main gods. the Nile god shared honors with Ra, the sun god. If you're, how many, have you been to Egypt? Has anybody else been to Egypt? Nobody been to Egypt? When you're, when you are, you can't believe how sweet the waters of the Nile are. I mean, it's an incredible, the water tastes wonderful. Maybe it's because it's in the middle of 60, Ned, huh?
That could have something to do with it.
But it's really good water. Blood, whenever blood is seen in the scriptures, whenever blood is seen, it means death. And the idea that your definition of your river of life turns to death. Now, most of you, we've talked about, you know that fundamentally. You know that the Nile is your river of life, and when it turns to blood, most of you know that your life is shit. I mean, apart from the hope of God. But there's all kinds of little secret tributaries and little vessels of wood and vessels of stone that still you have not yet seen that are death. Now, what are these? You know, where do you still gain life from something other than the resurrection? Now the the river there's an interesting symbolism here that I don't know if I'm going to be able to explain in this map. Oh, the glove's under my leg. The Nile starts down here in the mountains and runs and exit, I mean, and deposits itself in the Mediterranean Sea,
Delta.
In the Delta. There's huge snows and rain up here in the mountains, and it's what feeds the Nile, and it goes into the Mediterranean. This is the phony river of life. The true river of life is the River Jordan. The River Jordan starts in the mountains of Lebanon, at the cedars, and comes down, and supposed to, as in the spirit, it's supposed to have gone all the way down through the Dead Sea, down this wasteland, and into the Gulf of Aqaba. And what's called Elak here is Aqaba. And it got dammed up, and it's flowing the opposite direction from the Nile. The Jordan River flows the exact opposite direction as the Nile River.
Close to the north?
Nile flows from here to there.
Okay. So the upper kingdom's on the bottom and the lower kingdom's on the top.
But the idea, I mean, there's tons of metaphor in the way because nothing that was created could have been created that didn't reveal the mystery. I mean, you understand that. So if you see it in the stars or in the earth or in the movement of the planets or this or, but here, there is nothing, the reading of this is there's nothing in your river of life that's going in the right direction. Nothing. There is nothing that you think will give you life that's going in the right direction. Everything from the River Jordan gives life, except when it's dammed up. And what happens when it's dammed up, it produces the Dead Sea, and it's the lowest point in the face of the earth. And when you're dammed up, when you don't prophesy, when you don't say what's there, then you are at the lowest point on the face of the earth, and you become as Sodom and Gomorrah. What? Now, what I hope that we can do here is to say to you, between now and the next time we meet, to find out truly where you think your life comes from. Where are the hidden tributaries, the hidden pools of water that you have not yet seen are death? Now, interestingly enough, for almost all of you, that is something connected with sex again. There's some component of sexuality that you believe gives you life. Some component of male-female relationship that you believe will give you life. And so the river of life and its tributaries, not necessarily with sex, but with sex.
Gender
stuff.
Yeah.
Now, if you are married or dating,
or want to date.
Yeah, really? Or trying to date.
Or dating five.
Or infatuated.
Or have dated.
Yeah. Or taking matters into your own hands.
Or being chased by. And.
Am I out of there?
Nah, that was not an out of there one.
Total grace.
Yes.
Mary, I wouldn't be the one to throw him out if I were you.
Different with it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I wouldn't be if I were you.
We're talking a tiny glass house.
Different with it.
People who are shouldn't stand in front
it's
of the mirror.
Standard.
It's a double standard.
It's
long, you know.
You can't be coming.
Total grace, total love.
The old covenant, the new covenant.
The old covenant, the new covenant.
I'm just cross-eyed.
Anyway, those of us who are married, dating, infatuated.
If you believe that you are responsible for your mate's welfare, or if your mate is causing you to believe that you are responsible for their welfare, or vice versa, then in any dimension, sexually, financially, spiritually, emotionally, any way, then you're living a lie. If you are single, without prospects, without hope, and you believe that by having someone, that will provide you a place to give, provide you a place to get, provide you all, then you are living a lie. And one of these tributaries on the river of life has not been yet seen to you to be dead. You understand? You know, I talked to Stealth about it, but in Stealth, if in their Bible studies, if they think they're responsible for, you know, if they believe it, then those people are giving them life. And so it's part of the river of life. Understand? If you are in a career or think you want a career, and that you're that's your river of life. It doesn't matter. It has no idea of component of success. It has component of giving meaning. What gives you meaning? That's the thing that you must see. All these little pots, these vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And part of it, to complete this metaphor, are those little containers that you have of definitions.
So I was thinking about this last time we talked about it,
that give you worth.
You probably mentioned this about things that, like, the vessels and things, are, you know, the stored waters, like things from your childhood or long time ago that you have somehow stored and claimed, and so it's like in a cupboard, and it never gets taken out unless someone trods on it.
Yeah, and it's
like people who weren't raised in Christianity but have no care for it, and when you come and trod on it, they just kind of lose their mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's people that have given up allegedly going to church or their family's religion or their mother's religion or their father's religion, and yet they defend it to the death. I mean, I see that constantly.
Absolutely.
It's just obscene. Because that's like a storehouse of water back there in their closet that they're keeping for a rainy day. Or not a rainy day, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like backup or something.
But it all has to do with worth and meaning. Mm-hmm. More worth in this component of the river of life. And it must be seen that it's all been turned to blood. It's all dead. It's all a stench in the nostrils of God. It must also become a stench in your nostrils. Now, this is all-encompassing. Understand? Mm-hmm. Now, all things that have gone wrong in your lives up to now, God doesn't know time. So the play, he'll just take every... What?
I just realized what you were going to say. I think it's fun.
All things that have gone wrong up in your life up to now, failure, desperation, despair, loneliness, whatever. They all are the only thing that has caused you. They are all will be revealed in these plagues. Deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's like...
Revealed like why they happened?
Yeah.
Oh. And as far as God's concerned, they all come at once. Not over 35
yeah.
years.
Yeah. They all are... They
34.
All...
like this.
Go to Ezekiel 20.
We found a tributary.
Prophesying, really.
Where'd you find a tributary?
You said 35.
34.
That's 34.
That's
34.
Where are we
at? Oh, you came from 46-year-old.
Was it Ezekiel?
You're over. Where are we going?
You're over, Lee. Yeah. You're over.
He missed it.
I had to fill out a card at Vinny's.
Big
Zeke, cash
quick,
checks.
20.
Color of eyes, green. Color of hair, none.
Flesh tone.
She thinks it's funny. Because
you really put that
flesh down here.
What a very crazy.
Other. Where are we going? Ezekiel
20. Big Zeke.
We're going to
go. Oh, no.
Big Z.
The whole sum of the purpose of the plagues is to cause you to the whole purpose of the plagues and the whole purpose of what you define as failure is to cause you to be able to desire to leave the world. If you don't desire to leave the world, stay there. The thing that led up to the idea of the confrontation with Moses and the Pharaoh and desired that led up to the real plagues is that Israel was forced to make bricks without straw. And obviously, to make bricks without straw, you can't do it. They fail. They crumble. And that's the symbolism. All of your ideas and plans, they've crumbled.
Fine. I was just thinking about when Esther said that if we had just been sold into slavery, I would have
not said. Why? Go to verse 3. Chapter 20, verse 3. Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, cast you away every man the abominations of his eyes. You understand that? And defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt, for I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. For I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, and bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. Now, what it says is that the purpose of the plagues was to destroy the idols of Egypt. The purpose of the plagues didn't have a goddamn thing to do with Egypt. It had to do with destroying the before the eye of the seed, or eye of Israel, the gods of Egypt. Do you understand that? God didn't give one holy hoot whether 2 billion Egyptians were destroyed or not. A holy hoot. He didn't care whether the firstborn of everyone was destroyed. He didn't care whether or not the whole land was wasted. He did it as an example to show Israel. Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years, and they had adopted for themselves subconsciously the gods of Egypt. God then destroyed Egypt to show his people a lesson. It doesn't seem very fair. Huh?
What was real power and what wasn't.
Right. So that's what the plagues are about. They have nothing to do with all those evil people out there or evil people. It has nothing to do with people. It has to do with marring and destroying your idolatry. All right. Back to Exodus.
Pray the period is over.
We've got to go to history. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What?
Recess.
It's recess now. Yeah, the bell just rang.
I'm sorry, man.
It is. It's quarter till.
Yeah. You can't get a cigarette before
eight.
The other one if you don't.
Is it quarter to eight?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why the bell rang.
What's when we're supposed to stop?
Well, okay.
Who's bell?
Is there like homework?
That's right.
Well, think about your tributaries.
Yeah.
Think about your pools of water. Take it, big guy.